This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Deborah Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know that whenever you hear us on air, it is that time of the day where we discuss all things business. This is a show that brings you regulators, subject matter experts, industry champions, and mainly game changers. I'm very excited that we're still on the Women's Month. I don't know why I'm excited that we're still on the Women's Month, but I just am, hey? You know, I guess, you know, this women have just got that thing, you know, that thing that excites you. But anyway, I'm not alone in studio. Today I'm with my boy Bulelani. But how are you, Fana?
No, man, I'm very happy. I'm happy to be in studio. I'm happy to be a rose amongst thorns in studio today. I'm kidding. Now we've got beautiful.
I was a rose among the thorns last week.
Yeah. I saw that. But I mean, it's also beautiful for me for us to be celebrating women this Women's Month. I think that it needs to happen every day. But I think for me, most important thing is for this month really to act as an advocacy for women to really go out there and explore their great ideas and pursue their dreams. Yeah.
No, definitely. Tseka is in studio as well. Tseka, how are you?
Hello.
Are you well?
I'm good. How are you?
How's the Women's Month treating you so far?
It's kind of chilled, but there's a lot of, I actually had the opportunity to MC at a Tulima Donsela event Women's Day.
Oh, nice.
So that was my highlight for the month.
Okay.
But how are you doing?
No.
It's been a while. We've got a full studio.
Yeah, no, definitely. It is. I was kind of enjoying
listening to us.
You know, and not having to be preparing for any radio show or whatsoever. But I mean, you guys have been holding it down. I mean, you've been doing amazing work.
Thank you.
You on another level. I think you've grown, eh?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you've grown. Growth is good. And I think more than anything, our customers have been listening to you, or our clients or our listeners at home. So I mean, they've kind of been enjoying what you've had to share. And you know, talking about customers, Tseko, the discussion that we're having driving here with Amanda and Monica was the issue of gym. So
okay.
Yeah. So Amanda is an athlete. Amanda is a runner.
Yeah.
So and Monica is an athlete as well. So, but now I was saying to her, she used to be running and always going to the gym and running and all of that. Now, all of a sudden, she doesn't. So now she has moved places. She's moved to another place. So now there's this new gym that training. So now they're telling me how the old gym is the same brand. I don't want to be mentioning the brand.
Okay.
How the one gym had an ambience and had all of these things. And now the new gym in the new place, there's no ambience of that's encouraging him to gym and this and that.
Okay.
Do you understand? Apparently, whether it's the case. So I asked to say, okay, what is that not happening? He says, no, abarnag. Do you understand? So now I'm trying to understand whether is it the customer service that has a problem, or maybe consumers are not being, received well. I don't know. I don't understand. Do you understand? And I remember watching Bulelani show as well. He was visiting some gym. I thought he'll start gymming as well.
Let me tell you something. There is a study that was released by Destiny Man.
Okay.
That says that men with bellies make the best love. It's not me. It's a study. And those who haven't yet are yet to experience. I know it's a business show, but I needed to put this business fact out there.
No. Being a business fact, it's actually aligned with the discussion that we're going to be having today. I mean, we're talking about, we're still, since obviously being a Women's Month, we're still talking about women in business or in the forefront of business. And you know that the ability to chart one's own economic destiny by becoming an entrepreneur is one of hallmarks of capitalism. Many of today's most recognized companies and brands began as brainchild of an individual who embraced the risk of entrepreneurship with hopes of realizing their entrepreneurial vision. Yet, while in theory entrepreneurship is everybody's game, rates of female entrepreneurship have historically lagged loose for men. Thankfully, for the benefit of innovation, business and society as a whole, in recent years we've seen an increase in rates of women in entrepreneurship, increasing female increasing female entrepreneur participation is significant and holds the potential to continue to be a major driver for economic growth. So essentially, women are now becoming the forefront of business. They are rising and becoming stronger each day. Today we talk to such women who have made phenomenal strides in the world of entrepreneurship as a whole. So one of the things that I want to discuss with this woman, since obviously we've already opened up the discussion, to say how are they servicing their customers and how are these customers receiving them? Are they receiving them because they are hot? Are they receiving them because, you know, they've got breasts or something? Do you understand? Because I've realized that we respond differently to women as a whole. Let me start with a dear friend of mine that who has been in the space of customer service for the longest time that I've known her. I know she's actually ran trainings for the likes of SARS and many others. And she has done, I mean, hosted call centers for clients. But anyway, I'm not in liberty to become her spokesperson. She's got the ability to speak for herself. Let me take this opportunity to welcome Amanda Mputulo to studio. Amanda, take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Hi, everybody. My name is Amanda Mputulo. I've done quite a lot. So I think I've been fortunate in my journey because I've been in the forefront of large organizations who have discovered what it is that they wanted to do and mm-hmm. how they've then sort of looked at that and changed the way that they do business mm-hmm. in order to meet their customers' demands.
Okay.
So what I've done is I've worked at SARS for 10 years. I worked in contact centers, the TransUnion ones, the big financials, the banks, the different ones.
So it means in short, you, the relevant, you've been dealing with customers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now let's have this discussion. You were in the car with me when we were having the discussion of the gym.
Yes.
You understand? So can you give us context to say what? Okay, in the case of Monica's case, why is the gym having more ambience than the other one?
It's all about customer loyalty, basically. I think it's how you feel when you walk into it. Customer loyalty is not something that you can. Like you can say, this is the actual thing that made me want to go back to this particular gym and not that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think what drives us to go to the gym is that when it starts feeling like fun and you start getting to people that when you get there, they have a passion for what they do and how they do it and how they make you feel while you're doing whatever you need to be there. And it just works. So you get to a point where I think where myself and Monica were saying that it doesn't matter that they are the same brand, but you'll find that the execution is very different, which will cause people to be more loyal to one place than they are in another. And that's essentially what drives customers to stay for a lifetime in any place. So even if I move and I go to Pretoria, I'll still come back to that particular gym because mm-hmm. I know what I get there is something much more than just gymming. It's about the way I feel after and, you know, how about I feel about the area and about the things that they do and how really as a customer, I feel like I've done, I didn't have to pay for the service. It was almost given and extras on top of that.
I mean, speaking of loyalty, let me bring a loyal entrepreneur. I'm saying she's loyal in a case of she's in a unique business. And being in a unique business, I think it's difficult for people to be loyal to in this business as far as clients is concerned and as far as sustainability is concerned. And she is a classmate of mine an entrepreneur that is doing strides. Let me take this opportunity to bring Songo. Songo, say hi to listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Hi, Tiboko, and how to your listeners as well. So Songo Didiza is the founder and the CEO of Green Building Design Group, a non-for-profit organization that's doing advocacy, that's doing skills transfer, capacity building programs for participants in the green economy in Africa.
So you are not for profit?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So you do not make profit?
No, we make profit, but we obviously have to put it back into the business, into operational expenditure budget of the business.
Okay. So right now you are in the green space.
Correct.
And you are in the kind of business where loyalty is everything.
Absolutely.
Do you understand? So right now, Amanda has raised a very important issue of customer loyalty.
Yes.
Do you understand? So do you find that, do you have clients that are loyal or customers that are loyal in the space that you're in?
Our challenge has initially been getting the customer to understand what green is, you know, green, what the green economy is. Is it me buying goods from Woolworths that I can maybe recycle the packaging, or is ensuring that the energy that I'm consuming in my home coming from an alternative source.
Hold it.
A wide variety of ways in which green can be.
Hold the thought. Bulelan, what is green?
I think for me, my layman's understanding of green is check out the lady smile. Layman's. I'm kidding. No man, I think in that particular context, I mean green is
so where are you going?
Green in the energy space is utilizing alternative means. I mean, you look at your Teslas.
Okay.
You know, utilizing solar.
Mm.
And I think from a food perspective, if I'm not too off, it's finding organic foods that I'd like to believe homegrown, because those are the only ones I trust.
Okay. Yeah. I think as Songo is about to tell us, I'm realizing something interesting. Tseho and Monica Bamechitz, did you guys decide to say the memo today it's black, and you guys didn't decide to update us?
Navy.
Is this loyalty? Is this customer loyalty? So then another guest walks in wearing black as well. So clearly there's been a memo that has been going on. So maybe that we need to be updated on. But so tell us, what is the green?
Green economy, I like what Bulelani said. It's really hopping on that. It's essentially taking the mainstream economy and ensuring that it's low carbon.
Okay.
It's inclusive. It's not just for the chosen few.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's ensuring that those low carbon investments that we're putting into the economy, they are resulting in jobs. It's not a case of where, you know, jobs are going to get lost. Mm-hmm. It's not a competing option.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in essence is a green mm-hmm. economy. It's taking the mainstream economy and making it green, mm-hmm. which is a big task.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got to start small.
Yeah, and you know, issues of loyalty. Now it's in that industry. You find most entrepreneurs start off, but do not last or cannot remain loyal, because you can operate in that space for 3 to 5 years without making a cent.
Yes, and absolutely. I like what you said as well, Amanda, when you said it's really about the experience.
Yes.
And I think one of the reasons why the green economy got popular in South Africa was because that experience was taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Not because people wanted to be environmentally conscious, but because that experience of having their services, their guaranteed services, which they're paying for, was taken away from them. So they started looking at alternative options, and those alternative options tend end up to be quite competitive.
Mm.
So I think we want to a good.
Yeah, route. I mean, you know, speaking of alternative options, the entrepreneur that I'm going to introduce now, she was supposed to have come to the show last year. She's very busy. You see, she's got too much alternative businesses to be engaged on. She's a celebrity entrepreneur. She's a fashion entrepreneur. She's into manufacturing. She's, you know, and by the way, that's your sister from Gwagwa. So her name is Palesa Musia. Palesa, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what's your LTG.
Hi, Tebo. Welcome back. And hi to your listeners. I'm Palesa Musia. I'm a motivational speaker and an entrepreneur in various fields, clothing manufacturing, property maintenance, and events management, and now hospitality.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. No. But guys, let me check. I know Palesa for a couple of years now. Palesa has always been a hustler, guys. Eh? So, and a fashionista in the midst of hustling.
Hey.
So, I mean, you know, people, they say, it's something that I've always said. I know Bulelani quoted it in one of the interviews that he was doing on my behalf, to say, I dress according to how you want to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, because I've understood that people buy you before they buy what you sell. Mm. So when now, what are you selling?
Me, personally? My businesses sell a whole lot of things, but when it comes to myself, mm-hmm. as well as I sell authenticity, self-love, and self-sufficiency.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. And I just want to say, you know, it's Women's Month, and this independence thing sometimes gets in the way. Being independent does not mean you don't need anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It just means you are self-sufficient. That's it. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to be liked much, but it's okay.
Liked much by who?
Well,
by the others.
No. Yeah. So now, Amanda, you've been in operations.
Yes.
For the longest time, I know you designs. Now you're designing trainings and whatnot. Yes. I want to quantify what Palisa is selling. How do I?
Look, I think from an operations perspective, it's always about firstly understanding who's your customer and what matters to your customer. And if they have specific needs that they need met, how are you meeting those? Yeah. Then you design your entire service offering that you have and you are to align exactly with that. Because then you start having a conversation where what you're selling and what you're offering is no longer out of your reach. It's something that you do naturally. You know, the thing they say about habit, you know, it be customer service is a habit and it can only be done once it's done every single time. And the more you do it, the more it becomes part of you. So, for example, if I looked at you, I would be like, okay, yeah, I buy what you're selling. And I'm a woman. I'm a woman, because if you're telling me about self-love and the fact that you exude confidence and self-independence, I can already see that when you walk in, the kind of aura you give out says to me as another woman, I need to step it up. Wow. Because then I understand what it is that you're saying without you actually saying it. And I think that's what really in operations is all about, because I always say that operations is the heart of the organization. Because when a customer, you know, as execs, we all sit in and we'll scanty it out and we say, this is the strategy that we want to go into 2020. 2020 hasn't arrived. 2030, for example. But what we, and then we design our organization in such a way that it meets the requirements of 2030, which haven't arrived. But what we forget is that the customer is now. And when the customer is now, you always need to have that thing, that touch in that says, are we meeting the expectation? Is that what you want in 2030 and not what we want in 2030? That's going to make us money.
You know what? You know what I like about what you're saying, when Amanda, is that Palisa is selling different things to different people. But they are all buying. So from low to high So my Palisa, would you say the people that you're selling to, are they getting the message? Are they getting what you're selling?
Yes, they do. You know what the thing is? Everything that I do something that I'm very passionate about. You said I'm a fashionista, so it makes sense that I'm in manufacturing, right? Because I like to be tailored. And in order to be tailored, you need someone to actually make the clothes on your body, you know? So I went into manufacturing with an idea of one day having a boutique and selling my own range. You know what I mean? Obviously, I work with partners. And with motivational speaking, I've always loved to speak. And now I package it in a way that I can encourage people and help them take control of their lives and get to where they want to be. So in everything that I do, I choose my passion. And then you can sense the passion in what I do. And that's what gets people to buy. Authenticity will never be out of style.
That's true.
Trends will come and go, but authenticity remains. And I'm truly authentic to myself in everything that I do. In business, I'm a straight shooter. If I don't like it, I'm going to tell you I don't like it. I'm sorry about how you take it, but I'm not sorry that I told you. That's authenticity.
That's true.
When I design products, when our hotel, the service offering that we do, we think about our customers because we're not where we want to be yet. You know, our aim is to be a four-star
hotel
in Harry Smith. Yeah. So we're not there yet. Okay. But even where we are,
Is that before the big machine or after the big machine?
Which big machine are you referring to?
The one parked outside.
It's after.
Oh, okay.
The big machine, yeah. But the point I'm trying to make, we're not where we want to be, but there are customers that will come to us anyway.
Okay.
Because our motto is we accommodate you. And in all respects, you know, there are people, when I'm in Harry Smith, some people will walk into the hotel and say, I want to see the manager. And usually people will say, she's too busy to see you. And I make the time. I've got an open door policy. And some people come back for that, for the fact that I can talk to the manager at that hotel. And it means a lot to them. And I can't talk to everyone. That's granted. But that authenticity and that appreciation of customer, it will never go old. Grow old, sorry.
I had a question for Palis. How green is your hotel?
I love her. I just got one of the construction companies that I work with certified for ISO last year, So I'm very aware that we need to be green. But awareness does not always translate to implementation, right? That's a lot of the reason why a lot of companies don't get recertified, because they have a system and then they don't implement it.
Yeah.
But because we are aware, we don't print as much as we used to.
Nice.
We're using a lot of electronic communication. When it comes to our food, we're starting a vegetable garden. So it saves you money as well, because when you're planting your own, we've got the space. Like the yard is huge. Mm. Why aren't we planting? And we've got someone that's maintaining the gardens, and he's good at planting. Yeah. So we're doing that. But we've still got a long way to go. I can tell you that, because we don't have geysers that are solar. We're still using a whole lot of electricity. And but at least it's a start. You said you have to start small. Like,
absolutely.
And then you build up.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, come back to me in a year, darling.
So in a year, when we come back, we want to hear that she's got a new green.
Oh!
Yeah, let's,
can
let's talk.
Can I afford her, though?
Yeah. So,
payment terms, particularly for non-profit organizations.
Okay, guys, you guys will discuss that.
We will. Opportunities.
Yes. You know, entrepreneurs, they never miss an opportunity to sell.
Never, eh?
So, Songo.
Yes.
Do your customers get what you're selling, though? Because that's my concern. Hori, in the green space, the customer loyalty that and the emphasis that you, Amanda, was talking about.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Right now, it says, she asked a very important question, who is your customer?
Yes.
I want you, when you're answering me, tell me first, who's your customer?
Yes.
Do you understand? And secondly, tell me, are they getting what you're selling?
Mm. So the first question would be, Debo, is that who's the customer? The customer, we would love to say it's everyone, but as a business owner, and I think having gone through the Gibbs program, you start to realize that you need to know your customer. There's different customer segments. So our customers fall in different segments. Mm. One of them being in the business to government, which is essentially the policymaker, the people that write the laws. Mm. You mentioned your hotel, for instance. For that hotel to be built according to national building regulations, quite a lot of work has been done since 2011 to ensure that our building regulations are incorporating the environmental legislation, which is energy efficiency at that stage. So it'll be the policymaker.
Mm.
And then the other customer would be the adopter, which is the industry, which is the homeowner, which is the property developer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the other customer.
Yeah.
And then we call this business to customer segment, the third segment, which is the everyday person that we like to convince on the street. And that's the customer that's difficult to get to.
Yeah.
Because it's like, green is expensive.
Yeah.
I can't relate to green. I don't shop at Woolworths. I don't understand you people. Up until they realize they're very close to the green economy. They're much, much closer than everybody else and the big businesses and the policymakers, because by changing their behavior, by switching off the lights when you leave the room, you're already on that path. You're already getting into the green path. You just
and
have to
saving.
Do it consistently.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Consistency is key.
Yeah.
Amanda, we have most businesses that implement these things with a point or with the aim of wanting to improve customer service. You said there's something that you said key earlier offline to me. I want to repeat it now on air. You said half of the time when we start our businesses with the aim of wanting to sell.
Yes.
But we never start with a plan to say how, in terms of around my customer experience.
That's true.
Do you want to put a bit more emphasis on it?
So the idea here is, for example, if I just take the hotel industry, which I've also been fortunate enough to be working in, but not necessarily in a hotel. When you build a hotel, you are looking for profit. Mm-hmm. So you know, I've got this beautiful place. I'd like to build it. I want all my rooms filled, etc. But what you're not doing is to say, I want the business person who's coming here to have this experience, and be very specific about that experience. You're selling the experience, and more than anything else, you will get the customer.
Hey, let me interject to that. I know a friend of mine sells experience very well. Bulelan. You know, if somebody will ask me, what is Bulelan is selling? Bulelan is not selling printing services. Bulelan is selling an experience.
Thank you so much for speaking so highly.
Let me tell you, I've seen Bulelan sell. When Bulelan wants you or wants to charm you, knowing Hori, he's going to come back for business.
Okay.
You know? Bulelan, he'll make you feel like you're the only client.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So,
So Bulelan, give us some of your experience, customer experiences that you do as a business.
No, man. I think for me, purely because the space that I work in, or rather the space that I work in, has given me the opportunity to work with entrepreneurs. So I think the approach that I take is I always put myself in the entrepreneur's shoes. Mm. You know, if I was at the tail end of this experience, or rather this particular product or this sales exercise or this presentation, how would I want this whole entire thing to transition? Mm. All the way down to when I give it to the staff and I'm no longer part of the thing, the production exercise, the workflow exercise, what are some of the key touch points that are going to maintain that particular standard? Mm. I mean, I think I got to a certain point in my business where I realized that it's when it's time to up the ante, then you need to also up the ante internally. Mm. There's always a big gap between the visionary, which is the person who starts the business, mm-hmm. and the guys that are working in the business.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you could walk in with a clear strategy into this room, but the moment you leave this radio show, your morph strategy starts to become a great strategy.
True.
Mm. But the time it takes for you to communicate that back to your staff there's a big delay.
Okay.
And which then slows down the experience because you have now tapped into new ways of learning.
Perfect.
So I think that some of the key things that companies can utilize, or we as entrepreneurs can utilize in growing our staff, is maybe regular training and regular, I think in the company we call them catch-up sessions, you know, where it's talking about new development, new growth, new areas and new places.
Mm.
But that can't happen when the individual who is the founder is also not keen in having that conversation. And it also can't happen when the staff is not keen.
I love what you're saying. Let me bring it to Palisa. Palisa, when so when I you seem to manage to do best, I've seen, I do my homework.
Okay.
Ne? I've seen you good in finding existing or started businesses, and you convince the owner to buy in or to be part of an idea or to be part of the concept or whatsoever, because you know that you've got the ability to amplify the business or grow the business. So how do you get them to speak the language that you speak, or for them to see where you want to take their businesses?
Passion. I'm so passionate. When I remember what she said, like when I walk in, like my passion. You know, it's so funny that you just mentioned that, because I just came from a deal now. Mm. Very brilliant idea, brilliant business person, just needed a partner to partner with them and grow the idea. Mm. But my passion, I don't do nothing, something I'm not passionate about.
Mm.
So I already come in with a passion, right? That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, you must know what you're talking about.
Mm.
You know, you do your research. Even if you assume you know, read more on it, know more about it. And number three, I bring something to the table.
Okay.
Kim Kardashian said I am the table.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I bring something to the table. There's always something that I'll bring to the table that adds value. I don't just say, hey, it's me. No. I bring something, whether it's money, whether it's experience, whether it's expertise, but I bring something to the table and I'll make you understand that you need it.
Mm. Yeah. Tseko, can you put us your chair while another patient lady comes onto the mic? Songo?
Yes.
How important is passion in the business in terms of satisfying your client?
It's absolutely everything. Tabogo, because remember, there were also those times where you need that additional motivation. Why am I still doing this thing?
Mm.
You have to have that thing that's keeping it in focus for you as to why are we still here? Why am I still persevering? Some of these people don't understand what we're trying to sell, but something has to keep you in the game, and passion is definitely something that's something that's kept me in the game.
True.
From
true.
What I'm doing.
I like these ladies.
you can take them and put them in your bag. and take them to fish. I know they've got good businesses. They need a bit of your passion. They've got their own. We don't know if it's enough. Ma'am, do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm very well. I'm Florence Musundra, and I run two organizations. One is Reign Supreme Holdings, and the other one is a nonprofit for investing in women entrepreneurs. And what would you like to know?
Okay. So, why two businesses?
Oh, why two businesses?
Why so Uniso Bay and do people's nails?
No, I'm not a franchisee. I'm too much of a creator for that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But the long and short of it is that I started my entrepreneurial journey really wanting to build the World Economic Forum for Women Entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So that's where the nonprofit started. But professionally, I was a conference producer.
Okay.
And having done consulting work for various conferences, I figured I can build my own conferencing company. And I can. So I have four conferences in Reign Supreme Holdings, and one of the conferences happening on Friday. And so that's why the two organizations. But the nonprofit is really mainly around facilitating dialogue for women entrepreneurs with various corporates. We do also international work.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then there's a commercial business, which is the conferencing company. But both of them really host conferences.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now when you came in with the ladies, we're talking about passion.
Mm.
So for you to decide to say, Hora, you'll have something for women, like you having on Friday, is it driven by passion, or what is it driven by?
The event happening on Friday is actually supply development. It's enterprise supply development. So I do agree with the ladies on the importance of loving what you do. And I consider myself a facilitator of growth. So I'm very passionate about helping people reach their goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's why I do what I do. But also inherently, I think I have an appealing personality, and I'm just really likable, and I'm a connector.
So doing you're just conferences using that.
Work. Oh, you know, okay. I think some of the ladies actually really spoke to sides of self-actualization and understanding yourself so that you harness on your strengths. Mm. As a person, you know, and your weaknesses, you know, it's things that you can work on. But once you understand yourself and you've got a very clear understanding of where your strengths are and how you can use those strengths for you to grow your business, it's very important. So I'm very big on, I think Palisa, you know, she's a motivational speaker, and she was saying, you know, she helps people to realize themselves. But
I've got a full house today: industrial psychologist, motivational speaker, green entrepreneur. Mm.
Yeah.
I can fill up your conference with this.
And I can be your MC or speaker.
Yeah. So entrepreneurs are always pitching, eh? They're always pitching. So really, so back to passion. So for me, it really started. I've always been an entrepreneur. When I was in high school, I was running a tuck shop. When I was in tertiary, I was running the resident tuck shop.
Give me your typical customer.
My typical, so there's two. I've got my primary customers, corporates that are looking to engage with black SMEs. So my primary client is the ESD professional. Mm-hmm. And my secondary client is the SME. So my events are really tailored around the value proposition of meeting the buyer and the seller, the entrepreneur and the corporate.
Yeah.
So that is what makes up the event with a bit of supply matchup. And yeah, so those are my two clients.
One of the discussions that we're having earlier is that sometimes customers don't get to know or understand what you're selling.
Mm.
So now your customers, from an SME point of view, do they understand and do they know what you're selling?
So I run a different model, right? I do not sell to SMEs. I create a platform for SMEs to grow. So that's what
listen to this woman.
Mm. Hey. You know, so no, it's very important to understand your model.
Nice. Mm.
So
I love
the person that pays me is a corporate. An SME doesn't pay me. So what I do is the events are corporates that are wanting to, you know, increase access to market for their suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
So the corporate gives an X amount of sponsorship for the conference.
Mm.
Included in that is ticket for their suppliers. So the suppliers, hashtag the SME attends, and the dates build really much of a capacity building day. So do they understand? I think they do understand, because every person that's running a business, you do want to create a bigger network.
Mm.
You do want to know how to do business with both the public sector and the private sector. And somebody was talking about B2B, you know, SMME to SMME.
Mm.
So in my view, I think, so I do think, you know, just putting controversy on it, people are conference fatigued. You know, people there's so many conversations that happen.
There's too much talk shops.
Yeah, but for me, my passion is in, I am a product of many meetings. My business has been made out of having gone through conferences. So I believe in it so much that if you do really have an opportunity to attend where there will be 3 to 4 corporates there, don't miss it, because you don't know who's going to be sitting next to you.
Mm.
I've had payments you know, delays of payments in my business and only to go to an event and the person sitting right next to me is the person that must release my payment. Mm. So it's and that is the journey.
Yeah. So yeah. So right now you're sitting with SMEs in the room.
Yeah.
I'm one myself.
Yeah. So you're sitting with SMEs in the room. Mm-hmm. They are running businesses. They might have done well in their own right, but yeah, they still need their development. They still need your customers. So what are you doing on Friday?
Oh, so what we're doing on Friday, the event is called Grow Supplier ZA Gauteng, which is really a nationwide roadshow. So I'm just doing the Gauteng leg. Mm. What's happening is it's host-sponsored by Gauteng Enterprise Propeller, and I have 10 corporates that will be there to do supply match-up with the SMMEs invited by the various corporates and capacity building done by South African Supplier Diversity Council. So the suppliers will have the opportunity to engage with the various corporates and also have an opportunity to engage with each other. Mm. But the biggest question that we're trying to answer is access to market and how do we finance inclusive growth and try to really break it down into capacity. Somebody was talking about employees in the SMME. So we have partnered with your type of 1 million people with their SMME clearance just for us to have real conversations as to even the interns that you can take from a type of 1 million at the state of readiness of, you know, they're at for them to work in an SMME or a small business, because the level of initiative in a small business is not the same as a big business.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really what we have tried to create, to say the least one can do in the business that I run is to facilitate those conversations and facilitate as much as networking as possibly I can and help people get an aha moment, you know, because you are really alone, but you're not alone. We are interdependent.
Mm. So where is this happening?
So it's taking place at Indaba Hotel in Fourways. We start at 8:30. And I'm looking to do it bigger and better in 2019.
How many entrepreneurs are you looking
at? There are around about 250 already RSVP'd. These are suppliers brought from Gauteng Treasury, South African Supplier Diversity Council, Brand SA suppliers, and also GEP suppliers. So my core sponsors are the ones that bring the SMMEs so that you've got a qualified platform.
Okay, but you are here now. I need to bring my own SMEs too.
That's if we've got space, but I hear you. It's very important. It's very important for one to explain one's model. You know, so that because for impact, you have to have a very qualified audience.
Okay.
You know, so when you say you want to bring your SMEs, I'm going to ask you, are they in agro processing and they ICT, right? Because those are the ones that were targeted for this particular event.
So you see, so now you answer. So are you looking only at agro processing and ICT?
ICT, yeah. And manufacturing, there's three sectors.
Okay, so I've got manufacturing, I've got ICT. I've got agro processing, so we've got this. We've got.
I'll send you the link. Clearly, I cannot. Yeah. No, I'm just put right in this chair to say, Florence, give people the link and people can attend.
Yes. Yeah. We will tweet the link. By the way.
No, you can't tweet the link. It's the girl.
Okay. I'll WhatsApp the link.
Nothing in the green economy.
Nothing in the green economy. No, yet. Not yet. Haven't done anything in the green economy. I haven't done anything solar related.
Okay.
Only because I'm just building that ecosystem of the experts to help me build an agenda around it and I can sell it.
Okay, let's listen to what we're doing in the green space. What are you doing?
Oh, actually, we're also running our own Going Green conference, which has been running six years now. But I quite like her approach around connecting the SMEs to the businesses. Because it's something that we've never thought about before. We just thought, let's connect the professionals to the facilities owners and the property owners and connect those guys. So we're running a Going Green conference. It's happening Wednesday, Thursday, next week. And it's taking place at City of Tshwane House, which is a green building, by the way.
So
I'll do this. I'll trade you. I'll come to your event on Friday, and then you'll come. Maybe you can come to our event next week Wednesday.
Oh, shucks. I'm not a.
Okay, you guys will discuss those things and those logistics. So then, tell me, for entrance, is there an entrance fee?
There's an entrance fee.
Because now you don't have corporates.
Yeah, we don't have the big corporate budgets, unfortunately, backing us. But there's a small entrance fee that delegates would have to put out. And they can send an email to our events person, events@greenbdg.co.za, to book.
Events at?
Events@greenbdg.co.za.
How much is the entrance?
Small 3,000 rand. To get into the event.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, and what are some of the takings for people that are going to be attending?
If you're professional, you get your CPD point, continuing professional development. So, it's quite popular with architects and engineers particularly.
Okay.
They get their CPD points. Beyond finding your supplier there, a supply chain people there, it's getting the networking out of it. It's getting your thought leadership, we like to call it.
Okay.
It's your people like your Tebogo Mafodis who will come and address the delegates, people that can tell other people what they've done out of against challenging situations to be able to find those successes. It's your big corporates as well, your Growth Points, your IFCs, which are big financial agencies, but it's also your SMEs that will be there.
Okay.
And it's all green talks for capital cities in Africa.
You're having what we call hackathon. What is that?
The hackathon is happening on the 28th of August. It's the first ever hackathon to be hosted in Africa. It's a net zero hackathon. So for those close to the green economy, they'll realize now that the big shift right now is moving from low carbon to zero carbon. You'll see a lot of the big corporates already talking zero waste, zero, take all the waste out of the ocean, zero waste, zero waste. We're in the building environment where we want to promote zero carbon buildings. So we're giving entrepreneurs an opportunity to put forward their solutions on how to produce zero carbon cities in Africa. So that will take place on the 28th of August. And the winner will be announced at the conference.
What do they win?
The hackathon. Prizes, there's some cash prizes. There's also a training course on net zero carbon, which is offered by the Green Building Council of South Africa. Small Biz Handbook is going to be handing out enterprise textbooks as well. And Innovation Hub is going to incubate the winner. Innovation Hub in Pretoria. They're going to incubate the winner of the hackathon.
Oh, nice. 6 months. Oh, okay. So when are you hosting?
Well, I'm not hosting anything yet. I get so busy, I don't get to host. But here's what I'm doing. Can I tell you what I am doing?
What are you
doing?
Which
is amazing. I've got a condition called nystagmus. It's an involuntary movement of the eye that causes short sight, right? And for my whole life, I was told I'll never drive. So can you imagine? There were all these cars that I've had, and I couldn't drive them myself.
Highlight, so guys, the cars.
Cars.
don't do that.
Oh, okay.
So 2 years ago, I found the technology. It's called bioptic lenses, which is basically spectacles fitted with a telescope, and it gives you the ability to drive if you have this condition. It doesn't just affect people with albinism, it affects everybody, although it is more prominent in people with albinism. So I've got my foundation called Basia Foundation, and what we are doing now, we are trying to raise R500,000 because they cost about 45,000. And then they still need to do their driver's license, so we want to sponsor that to them as well. And I'm looking for 10 worthy people that require the technology to put them behind the wheel and take control of their lives, because if I'm possible, what is impossible?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, no, I like that. Bulelan, what are you hosting?
Sure. I host all
Monica,
the time.
Don't run. You still need to host.
Sure. T-November, 2000 Entrepreneurs Over 2 Days, 4th annual. So... excited about that.
Okay. Nice. When are you hosting?
No, I'm not hosting. So what I have been doing at the moment is designing the what if of a customer engagement journey. So it's a new way of looking at customer service. So I'm of the firm belief that customer service cannot be taught by going through a book. So you need to teach your employees as to, if this happens and the customer comes in with an unusual request, business unusual, what happens? Because a lot of the time, this is where business doesn't engage customers, because then when we've got like perfect ways of how the conversation needs to go with the customer, but then when something goes wrong, which it does, because it's business and we've got people, then nobody really knows how to pick up the pieces. And then business is also designed in a way where you've got 6 different departments to deal with that little part of the specific query. And forgetting that the customer's journey is throughout the organization. So what I'm doing right now is designing a manual That I can be able to then give to business and say, this is something that you need in your business. And this is your 2030 way of engaging customers. Because as technology changes, so does the customer experience and what the customers expect.
Yeah. I think, Twining, Amanda, for the way you've worked with customers for so many years and you've understand it. Mm. Bulelan, I think you must have Amanda on tea.
Yeah, if she'd like to come to tea, I mean, we're hosting a tea. Well, tea. We host micro tea sessions.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
Yeah. Mm. So. I think have Amanda. Have Palisa. Do you understand? For Amanda, I want.
Palisa's gonna pack a big car on the stage.
Wow.
Yes.
So next time I'm coming in an Uber.
Uber X.
Uber Black.
So, because reality is as small business.
Yeah.
We tend to underestimate the value of customer.
True.
And customer interactivity. That's, do you understand? True, eh? So we I want us to discuss the issue of value. How can these small businesses build value that they could give to customers? Because at the end of the day, small businesses, more than anything, need support. Do you understand? Need to be bought in.
True.
Do you understand? And they can only buy in. So if ever, you know, they get their customers to support them, and most importantly, get their customers to come back.
That's true.
Sure.
Do you understand? So I think what you do is so important, and I think you do not understand how important it is. Do you understand?
Yeah.
As much as you've been giving it to corporate, do you understand? And putting operational procedures for big business, I think if you can do, you can package it for small business.
We're going with those packages, eh? But I've got my lady here to sell me to help me sell it.
Yeah. So then on another day, I want Songo to come speak to Green Entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Do you understand? So I'll give you Songo, I'll give you someone else. If I need to be there as well, let's do that. Do you understand? Because right now, I'll make an example. The program that she was talking about at Gibbs, do you understand? I'm in the same program. And at some point, I mean, what the lady was talking about, corporate is paying 180,000 for me, for her, for anybody, do you understand, in that space. And yet we've got entrepreneurs that I've met as well in Timbisa and your event, do you understand, that are into the green space, but they don't get access to the same opportunity or to the same network. They don't have access to that entrepreneur, do you understand, or to that corporate that can pay for them to actually be empowered or to actually be developed.
True.
Wow. No, man, that would be an honor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to those that are listening, they know that we've built a show around connecting people. Do you understand? Yes. So that's why we bring in the kind of entrepreneurs that could benefit from each other.
Yes.
Do you understand? That could find value in that. But more than anything, you know, when you're having a good time, time always runs out. So we've come to the end of the show, unfortunately, because of time. But I'm sure we're going to revisit these discussions. You guys are going to come back on different days and different times where we're having different discussions. But we've always closed off the show in style. I want a word of 30-second inspiration to somebody that is listening, to a Songo that is on the verge of giving up, to a Palisa that's on the verge of giving up, or to an Amanda that's on the verge of giving up, that is listening. What would you say to that person in 30 seconds?
Do it when you're most afraid.
Do it when you're most afraid.
Yes. Right. The journey is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The journey will be hard, but it's mostly beautiful. But do it when you're most afraid.
Do it when you're most afraid.
Yeah.
Palisa?
If I'm possible, what is impossible? Think about it. In order for me to be here today, it took a sperm out of thousands to fertilize an egg inside a human being to create life. If you didn't know the process of human reproduction, would that not seem impossible? And yet here I am. So if I'm possible, what is impossible?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think for me is trust in yourself. And I think when I say trust in yourself is that be willing to walk away if somebody else doesn't trust you. So add value to your life. It's about you and nothing else. If you can add value, you can do anything in life.
If you can add value, you can do anything in life.
Yes.
Okay.
Get things done.
I don't want get things done. You've been giving us get things done. Give me something to work with, bro.
Sorry. And no quote from men's health.
Yeah. On the cap.
Yeah.
Give me something to work with.
No, man. I think entrepreneurship is beautiful. It's also difficult. Mm-hmm. It's not glamorous. So always note and always understand that there's a price that needs to be paid in entrepreneurship. And that price is going to be different for everyone. It's either time, it's either dedication and sacrifice, mm-hmm. sacrificing your loved ones, sacrificing whatever. And a thing is, success has its own price. Pay the full price. No shortcuts. No bribery, no whatever, pay the full amount price. Because absolutely. True success will show its authenticity in the years to come. So, you listen, caught me off guard. Listen, get things done.
Listen to that power. The next thing she gives me, get things done.
In essence.
Yeah. So guys, there's someone that is listening that wants to be in contact with you. Can you quickly, as a way of departure, tell us where can they find you?
Okay, so my email address is songo@greenbdg, green, the color, bdg.co.za. And I won't give my mobile number, but also alternatively, info@greenbdg.co.za.
Okay. Yeah. Are you on social media?
Yes, I am. Hashtag is Belegazi86, then underscore. Yeah, Belegazi86 underscore.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
No, it's fine. Then on the link that you gave us, is that where they're going to get more information about the conference?
About the event, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Ma'am?
All right. I'm info@palesamusia.co.za. Musia spelled MOSIEA. And on Instagram @pmusia, same on Twitter, on Facebook, Palesa Musia, and on Instagram also, Palesa Musia. Remember, MOSIEA. EA.
Wow.
I look forward to seeing you guys.
Okay. Ma'am?
I'm Amanda, Miss Congeniality in Potulo. So you'll find me on Facebook like that. I'm always running, so you'll never miss me. But my email address is michelle.mvinjelwa@gmail.com.
Okay. Bulelani, social media?
@BulelaniBala.
@BulelaniBala. And I'm @DebohomaFodi. Catch us again for another exciting installment of 360 Busy. If you've just joined in, you've missed out on an exciting discussion, but you can always catch it on www.cliffcentral.com and go to podcast. And 360 Busy is there. You'll see the beautiful faces that we have in studio and get to listen to the show that we had. But we back here next week, same time, same place, right here on Cliff Central. My name is DebohomaFodi. And Bulelani Bala, we out.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.